I came to believe in a power much higher than I.
The views expressed on the following broadcasts do not necessarily reflect those of KHLT, Take 12 Radio, or our affiliates. The opinions on this show should not be considered as medical, psychological, or professional advice and are those of the host, co-host, and guest. Take 12 Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship.
And I came to believe in a power much higher than I.
God is a solution. God, the 12-step.
I like where he's going here.
Helps the community grow, helps us grow. Bonnie has done a phenomenal job. And you're talking about taking people through a spiritual process, getting them into recovery.
Thanks, Monty, and thanks for all your support.
We need spirituality to make this thing work long-term.
It's an absolute pleasure. He certainly knows a lot of people.
This is one of the places that is about the business of the solution.
And now, broadcasting on location somewhere in the vast expanse of the Pacific Northwest, it's the over-opinionated 12-stepologist, the Monty Man.
That's right. That's right. Well, welcome aboard, one and all, to another fine broadcast of the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show, Take 2. Listeners, that just means that we tried this once, and something happened, and we're doing it again. Because don't you know that practice makes the need for more practice? welcome, everybody. Roger McDermott is on the line with us from Huntington Beach, California. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, Roger. Hello. And our guest this week for the show from Came to Believe Recovery, Alicia Martinez. Hello, Alicia.
Hi, everybody.
Hi. And you're in Auburn, right?
I'm in Auburn.
Auburn, yes. California. And then the CEO of Came to Believe Recovery, I'm tongue-tied, .org. And I say .org because I want you to write that website down, CameToBelieveRecovery.org. Mr. Tom Williams is with us. Tom, how the heck are you from New York?
I'm doing good. Trying to stay warm here in Big Apple. It's a little warmer today, but I'm coming to you guys from Radio City Music Hall, very famous venue. I'm not actually in the hall. I'm in an office upstairs. But right in the center of it here in Rockefeller Center.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be talking to these fine folks about the work of CameToBelieveRecovery.org, what they're all about, and some new things that are about ready to launch as well that Take 12 Recovery Radio is honored to be in partnership with. But anyway, I, before we do all that, of course, I just want – they don't pay us to do this. I just love these guys so much. The folks at Black Rifle Coffee. Yes, Roger, have you bought your Black Rifle Coffee yet? I already know the answer to that. Roger's going
to. No, I haven't.
Ah, there it is. Okay. And it is coffee that is made by veterans for veterans. You really need to get it. It's really delicious. And today I am drinking it out of my Take 12 Recovery Radio coffee mug. And on the other side of the mug, there's the Monty Man. Yes. So we are out of these. And, you know, everybody, we don't get paid here. Everything's donation. If you would like a Take 12 Recovery coffee mug, you would like to donate to the cause, you can visit us at take12radio.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the page and click on the orange donate button. There you can donate. And you will help support us in carrying a message worth depth and weight to a hurting world. And get a coffee mug. As well, so you gotta donate a pretty hefty amount to get your coffee mug. We need about $600 to reorder them. When we get that, then we'll order them. And if you're a major contributor, we'll send one along with a couple other things, some books and a couple of CDs and some goodies like that. All right, let's move on. Cecil is nudging me, and I think wants to introduce something. Yep.
Excuse me, Monty Man, excuse me, but it's a very important part of the show where you talk about one of those silly things that is spoken of in meetings sometimes. So take it away, Monty Man. with the silly thing.
Thank you, Cecil. Bam. All right, silly thing number one. And throughout the next couple of months, we're going to be talking about silly things that are heard in meetings. Coming to you from Communities of Recovery Experience. Silly thing number one, AA is a selfish program. It does it differently every time. AA is a selfish program. This unfortunate and silly saying turns 12-step recovery upside down. It is a telltale sign that whoever's saying it never read the Big Book, not even once. In fact, the Big Book identifies selfishness as the root of our troubles and states that we alcoholics must be rid of this selfishness. We must, or it kills us. Beginning with step one, every step in some way addresses our selfish, self-centered natures. Moreover, turning our wills over to the care of God and living selfishly for others are expressly written throughout the steps. So the silly thing number one is AA is a selfish program. There you go. We're going to move into a break real quick, and then we're going to come back and talk to the folks from CameToBelieveRecovery.org. Don't go away.
I'm not prepared to pursue my line of inquiry any further, as I think this is getting too silly.
Quite agree. Silly. Right. Get on with it.
Accessing this and all of our shows has never been easier. Simply visit our website at take12radio.com and subscribe to any of the podcasting platforms listed there. Take 12 Recovery Radio, the original recovery talk and positive music radio station and podcast.
Do you ever feel stuck in your recovery? I mean, we all have felt stagnant from time to time. I'd like to introduce you to the book, 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, Getting Your Recovery Unstuck, by our good friend and recovery author, Dr. Alan Berger. Dr. Berger has helped to change the lives of thousands of individuals with his work on emotional sobriety, paving a new path to recovery for both the addict and their families. For your autographed copy of 12 Essential Insights for Emotional Sobriety, visit abphd.com. This book is also available on Amazon.
He's insane.
Do tell.
He's a control freak.
Yeah.
So, what's your point? It's the Monty Man at take12radio.com on your internet dial.
All right, Frankie, bring it on. Yeah. I wanna know what life is out on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, welcome back to the show and my beautiful singing voice.
You sound pretty good.
It's years of operatic training. Oh, my goodness sakes. All right. This is the Take 12 Recovery Radio Show, the original and oldest recovery talk and positive music broadcast and podcast. And we are so pleased to have two of the representatives, the finest, of course, of CameToBelieveRecovery.org. I keep saying .org because I want you to bookmark that and go to their website. You can click on the link at Take 12 Radio. They're linked up here too as well, under our partners page, recovery resource page, and on our main page at Take12Radio.com on your internet dial. So let's just, if you're on YouTube, scoot up and come in close.
That's too close.
I have a question for you. Can you do the 12 steps in 3 days? Can you? Tom, what is this Came to Believe Recovery thing all about? And can you do the 12 steps in 3 days?
Well, the Came to Believe Recovery thing is all about bringing the program of recovery to people quickly, the way they were doing it back in the early days, the times when it was the most successful. And absolutely, you can do it in 3 days, Monty. And it launches you into that 10, 11, and 12. As a matter of fact, Monty, there were references in the Big Book to Dr. Bob taking people through the steps in an afternoon in his 3 or 4 hours off from page 291, 292 of the big book. I didn't make it up. There's references. So we sometimes say we're taking too long to take 3 days to take them through the steps. So absolutely. The process that the steps guarantee, this freedom, this release,
yeah,
absolutely can be accessed in a short period of time.
Yeah. Yeah. So Alicia, when did you, how did you hook up with Came to Believe Recovery? What is your story?
My story is that I was living in Henderson, Nevada and Southern California. And then we decided to move to Northern California in July of 2021. And I was in recovery at the time. Flip-flopping. I was in AA at first, and I dropped out of that, and I was in Celebrate Recovery. Mm. And so when I moved up here, I found a Celebrate Recovery because that's what I was doing in Henderson. And we joined a church, and we had dinner with our pastor and his wife, and he had heard from someone else in his church talking about this Came to Believe Recovery thing, which I had never heard of. And he didn't know much about it because someone else was telling him about it. And he was just telling me what he had heard. And after he left, I went online and looked it up. And lo and behold, not a coincidence, I'm sure, there was a retreat in like a couple weeks, just 40 minutes away from me in Nevada City. And that was September 2021. So I went to that retreat, was blown away, and met Tom and Sue Foreman and Steve Foreman, and just got plugged in pretty much from that retreat on. And now I'm a senior volunteer, and I've taught at 16 retreats and keep growing, and I just love it.
Wow. And so you've been with them ever since, and you're a senior volunteer Came to Believe Recovery. And Roger, let me back up a little bit. A gentleman by the name of Clarence Snyder. Now, that may be familiar to a lot of our listeners. Some may not. So one of the early members of Alcoholics Anonymous who kind of broke off from some of the other folks and wanted to kind of bring back some stuff spiritually, really. And he started working with his sponsees, and it was a quick journey back then. And so stop me any time here, either one of you guys or even Roger. It appears that we could talk about dynamics of a population explosion and all that within the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous, but it appears that the success rates were much more accurate. We could pinpoint them better, and they were much often and longer. And you know, you're talking 5 years out and beyond with people that work the steps quickly and thoroughly, like they did with Clarence Snyder. Is everything, am I on board here? Am I correct in what I'm saying? Okay.
You're correct. The Akron-Cleveland groups.
Akron-Cleveland groups. Okay. So in fact, for the listener's sake, it was Clarence, history tells us, that actually penned the name of the groups to be named after the big book, which the big book's not called the big book. It's called Alcoholics Anonymous. So, let's call the groups Alcoholics Anonymous, right? A very important figure in the history of this amazing 12-step fellowship. And these retreats have been going on for, I'm looking at your website, over 50 years of experience in recovery and retreats. You guys all together in Came to Believe Recovery. And you guys put on 26 retreats throughout the year in the U.S. And how long have you been doing this, Tom?
So, well, the first retreat started in 1966. Clarence started it. And he, you know, he used to take, this also is historically accurate, when there were so many people coming to Cleveland and Akron because of this phenomenal success, Monty, this unbelievable solution, this cure, they even called it.
Yes.
For alcoholism that had never been experienced anywhere in the world, really, this thing. And, you know, you make a great point about him. It's not so much that he brought it back. He kept it the way they were doing it. from the Oxford group.
Gotcha.
It was the others that made a move.
They kind of went.
But when he, I always say that to people. People say to me, how come you can do it in 3 days? I say, how come you can do it in a year? It doesn't say anything about that in the book, but it has a lot of references to doing it quickly. But anyway, we'll talk so much about that, guys. But Clarence moved from Akron to Castleberry, Florida in the late 1960s, 1964, 65, and he began to meet all these people that had relapsed. And he didn't have any experience with this, guys, because the people in Akron that were going through it, through his groups, were, he's got it documented, in the 90% success, never permanent sustainable sobriety. And so he gets down there and sees this stuff going on, and he starts to look into the meetings and see what's going on. And he said, I got to bring this back. So he started the first weekend retreat to bring it back. And he did it in Camp Florida, really. And then we moved it to Leesburg. So 1966 was the first retreat.
Wow.
It really grew, Monty. It's blow up in 1993. And then through the 2000s, it grew and expanded all over the country. And now we actually run 15 in the UK. And we've been in Spain, Australia. So I took you from the beginning to the end there really quickly.
Yeah.
And now we're in recovery shelters all over. I mean, we're really moving and grooving now.
Wow. So out of the U.S., Spain and Australia. So this is definitely, I believe, anointed by God himself. And he is moving in ways in your retreats and in this ministry. Let's call it what it is. It's a ministry. That is ministering to the hurting and in a very quick way, because this is life or death. And I don't know what this is about, well, let's do a step a month, a thing, or how many people we kill by kind of teaching that stuff. That's okay for a topic discussion, but as far as actually applying and implementing the 12 steps in our lives so we can experience a state of recovered, and let's talk about that word for a second. There are fellowships that don't like that word. Right. But how much sense? I'm going to ask Roger first. How much sense does it make to you, Roger, to stay sick?
When I came into the meetings, one of the first things they asked me, how long do you want to be sick?
Yeah.
And I said, I don't want to be sick anymore at all. And the big book makes it quite clear. You do the steps as quick as you can do them, and you have recovered. It says it all over the book. So I don't know what the argument and the question is. If the reference manual is the big book, it's all in the 164 pages and in the stories in the back. Why are we arguing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When I heard that Clarence had 93% success rate in Cleveland in the first meetings called Alcoholics Anonymous doing, he said he took the Bible in one hand, the big book in the other hand, and most of what he learned in Akron in the meetings began in Cleveland. And they had 93% success rate. He started 30 meetings in the first year. I don't know. Nobody ever told me that. I'm 12 years sober. I'd never heard of Came to Believe. I'd never heard of the workshops. And now I'm all about it. I've been using the program since 2008. But I just went to my first retreat in December of 2023. And it's a game changer. Flat out a game changer. Even though I've been using it, I hadn't attended a retreat. To watch 40 people, lives change in light, living color was amazing. Amazing.
I
don't know why we argue about solution and what works.
Yeah, yeah. Why would you want to? I want to go with what works. Listeners, Roger McDermott is my co-host on this episode. We are talking to the folks from CameToBelieveRecovery.org, Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez. And we're talking about really what the founders and some of the movers and shakers in early AA, what they were doing that made this so successful. Tom or Alicia, which one of you would like to tackle this next question? I'm not going to tell you what it is. So tell me, raise your hand, which one wants to do it?
I'll do it.
Okay, you'll do it? Okay. All right, here you go. Here you go. Why do you think that people balk at this idea of actually living in the solution, or what like you guys refer to, living in the go? And we can talk about that too. Why do people balk at it? Why do people go to meetings and balk at actually doing the work when they are suffering like crazy?
That's a good one. I would have to say that, because I have flip-flopped. I was in meetings and in other fellowships and saying recovering, or I'm still working on. And I think it just has a lot to do with not understanding and not stopping and wondering, like, what am I actually saying? I didn't know the big book. I mean, I got sober from alcohol almost 30 years ago. I went to like 3 meetings and stopped. So I never read the big book. I was a dry drunk forever. But I would think that if I did read it, it does, like Roger, it says recovered on the first page and all the way through. We are recovered, recovered, recovered. I think the confusion maybe, and what was with me, was like, they think, or I thought that that meant, okay, then I can drink if I'm recovered. Yeah. And I think that's something that's the confusion. And I totally get that. Because I would think if I'm recovered, then I can eat sugar every day and I could exercise my life away and I could drink. Mm-hmm. But that's not what it's saying. But I think that's part of the confusion. And a big one would be people are, we want a quick fix. We don't want to work. Yeah. We don't want difficult. We don't want hard. We don't want discipline. And then if we're an addict on top of that, forget about it. We're not going to do anything.
Yeah. 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 We lose people at step four and step nine, I think. These are the two biggies. Step four, because we're putting pen to paper. People I got to do homework now. And people don't want to do that. And then in nine, well,
nine was my scary one. Four, I was fine with, but nine, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The image. But it's amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And in step five, it talks about, how people will have kind of skimmed over. They only thought they did this step, and we lost them because they really didn't do it, you know. And nine's that way, too. I mean, because if you talk, I love what my mentor says, Chris, as when he talks to people that have been out and they come back in. They were sober for 20 years, and then they come back in, I relapse. Okay. Did you develop a prayer life, a disciplined prayer life that included prayer and meditation? Did you help others when they were in need? Did you reach out to others within your program? No. Did you develop a prayer life? Not sometimes, you know. Did you make amends to the people that you had harmed? Most of them, but not all of them. Well, then you're supposed to drink. You're supposed to drink. You know, and he says, I know that's dark, but it's true, right? And so, but what you guys do in a 3-day period, with the exception of step nine, right? Because, and I'm going to take a stab at it here, because that's going to involve people making direct amends in that particular day. They're here at this retreat. They're not really doing that. So that's something that they're going to have to do. But you guys are adamant about teaching people how to apply and implement these spiritual disciplines so they can have a spiritual awakening as a result of that. True?
True. Yeah. And it's the result, not a result. It's the only result that they experienced, right, was that they had a spiritual awakening. And the spiritual awakening filled them and gave them the power that they needed.
Yeah.
I think, Monty, you're right, and I totally agree with Alicia that people are just confused. One of the big things is they're never taught that they can be recovered. There's no one's teaching them the big book. You know, we can go down this whole rabbit hole, too, of who comes into recovery meetings today and who is sent, and we're not even sure. Some people say maybe as many as half that go to meetings aren't even, quote-unquote, real alcoholics. And so this idea that they have to take such a drastic step to turn their life over to a God, which somehow seems to be this horrible thing they have to do.
Right.
They don't do. And they take easier, softer ways. We absolutely are promoting the process that we teach you over the weekend. And step 10 says we commence this way of living, Monty, as we clean up the past. So right away, we commence this way of living and we're doing our step nine at the same time. It's a way of living that we commence, and it's not an overnight matter, and you don't have to be perfect at it, But once you start this way of living with a clean slate, you absolutely can say, I'm recovered. Just because you're cleaning up the past doesn't mean that you own that stuff anymore. It doesn't mean you have to, it has to draw your character down and make you a horrible person. We lived our whole lives that way. It is so clear in the literature that they did not mean for that to be the case. They meant for you to be moving on in step 10 and starting a new life while you were cleaning up the past.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're breaking up a little bit. I'm hoping that we don't lose you here. Just be aware. And Roger, you went through the retreat. Was it last year?
Yes.
Yeah.
Last December.
And I remember you called me up and you told me, you said, this is a life-changing thing. And you were just, I mean, you guys, I'm telling you, he was bragging on you big time. And tell the story about how a couple of us met and how many years ago and where it's brought us to today with Came to Believe.
Yeah, what's interesting is I had a sponsee tell me about a book written by a guy named Dick B that was called The Good Book and the Big Book. And he told me about it, and long and short of it, he said, Dick B's coming from Hawaii and he's going to be at Mariners Church in March of 2008. And I said, well, I'm going. And I went to that conference and I met Dick B and I met Monty Meyer and I met Dale Marsh, all who were now are and then commenced to be involved with Came to Believe and
yeah.
what Clarence Schneider had instituted in 1939. And I was dumbfounded that I had 12 years sober and I'd never heard of this, even though you read about Clarence in the Big Book, but you don't read about the success rate. You don't read that they had 93% success rate doing what he did. And then if you read the Big Book, it's very clear that it was a program of action and change and that you don't wait around to do it. And I became, Dick B used to say something, I'm a reporter of the truth. I got rid of my opinions and I got rid
yes.
of editorials and I report the truth. And I went, that's good. I like that. I like the truth. So it started me on this journey. I started using a reprinted format of the thing that Steve Foreman put together. It was a Came to Believe workbook. But I'd never been to the actual retreat. And it's kind of like going to a Zoom meeting as opposed to being a powerful meeting in person.
Gotcha.
I think that's a good analogy. And being there and watching it take place and participating in it and listening to people do their fifth steps and watch what happened was hard to describe beyond the fact that it was supernatural and it was amazing.
Yeah. 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 And so this connection that we've made, that Take 12 Recovery Radio has made now, really launched forth through Roger, my co-host. And it's just amazing, Tom and Alicia, how God orchestrates things and sometimes takes 20 years to make it happen. But what a blessing. And here in a minute, we'll talk about our partnership, too. For the listener's sake who might be going, I don't know, maybe I'll check it out. Okay. If you visit the website at cametobelieverecovery.org, listeners, and click on the orange link that says retreats, there you'll find the dates of the retreats and so forth. Now, some people would say, well, you know, is there a fee? Well, yeah, there's a fee, because just like when you go to an AA convention or a conference, you got to pay a fee. You got to pay for the retreat. You got to pay for the material and that kind of thing. How much does it cost for one person to go? Alicia, Tom, either one again.
So it's like between $250 and $350, and it all just depends on the venue we have and how much it costs us. You're really just paying for room and board with a little bit extra to cover expenses for like the books and other. Think about that, Monty. Two nights, six meals, and a weekend program for $300. The value is ridiculous to get your life back.
That's amazing. That's amazing. You got one that I'm going to be attending in June in Malibu. Now, just the thought of Malibu, I just go,
It was beautiful.
I'll bet.
Yes, it is.
And that's where you went to the one in Malibu, right, Roger?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I had been there before to retreats, but not like this
one. And it's interesting because my mentor, Chris S., was speaking at an AA convention in Malibu the week before. And so he and I got talking about it. In fact, he said, "Oh, I know who these came to Believe Recovery folks are." He goes, "Go get on Amazon and buy the book How It Worked." He says, "You're going to love it. You're going to love going to the retreat. Let me know if you read it before or after. Let me know what you think." Because he's a big AA historian. We referred to Dick B. Now, Dick B., for the listener's sake, was really probably the foremost authority on the history of Alcoholics Anonymous that I've ever met. The author of almost 40 books on the whole issue and topic. And he was very much, he has gone home to be with the Lord now, but he was very much in favor of when did we go from keep it simple to keep them sick? And so he wouldn't tolerate this long, stretched out, you know, I've been in AA for 4 years and I'm still on step four stuff, right? People are dying out there, and you guys are helping to save lives. Now, you've got a retreat coming up just in a couple of weeks. Tell us about that one.
Well, the retreat coming up in a couple of weeks, guys, this is this great new opportunity that we've had. We're going into a homeless shelter, a shelter right in Portland, Oregon, right in your backyard, Monty.
Yeah.
And we're going to come in, and we provide these free of cost for the attendees. Of course, it's not free, but it's free of cost for the attendees. And we're going to take these shelter residents through the program. And, you know, it's just so amazing to watch that level of desperation, because they're at a little bit different level of desperation when they're in a shelter than sometimes we see the ones that come to Malibu, although everyone's desperate when they're seeking recovery. And so we're going to be up there in Portland spreading the message to the members of a shelter right there in the center of the city.
Yeah, yeah. And this is actually going to be held at City Team. I'm familiar with those guys. They've been on the show, been many, many years. I tried to get a hold of Lance. City Team. To get him we'll have him on the show at some point. But I'll be attending that. I've got some of my sponsors going to be attending that. So we're excited about that. Now, something new that has happened here at Take 12 Recovery Radio is, you know, for this to happen, it's really got to be the Holy Spirit, right? We all ended up meeting and we're on the same page on all sorts of issues that we really need to be on the same page to make something like this work. Take 12 Recovery Radio, listeners, has partnered with Came to Believe Recovery to be bringing you a brand new podcast called the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. It is going to launch on Tuesday, March 5th, and then every Tuesday, until God changes things, every Tuesday we'll bring you a brand new podcast with Tom and Alicia. Sometimes it'll be Tom and Alicia. Most of the time it will be. Sometimes it might be Tom. Sometimes it might be Tom and me or Alicia and me, whatever. But it is Came to Believe Recovery Podcast. It is going to be incredible. It'll be challenging to your ego, I promise. And it'll be something that'll encourage you and inform you as well. So how do you get there? Simply go to take12radio.com and click on the Came to Believe Recovery podcast banner, and I'll take you right to the page, and then you can listen and download the shows for free. So what are you guys excited about this podcast coming up?
We're very excited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be a blast. Now, here's something that's going to be very unusual. And some people, including Roger, will probably say, I'll believe it when I see it. I'm going to be more of a silent host. So he's like, what? So I'll introduce the show, and then these guys will take it, and I'll interject once in a while. But this really is their podcast, and we wanted to say really thank you for all the work that you guys are doing. We wanted to produce this podcast for you and develop the webpage and all that. And so, folks, it'll be on YouTube and all major podcasting platforms. So what happens, listeners, if you subscribe on any of those platforms to Take 12 Recovery Radio, you'll be notified whenever the Came to Believe Recovery podcast airs, as well as all of our shows. So you'll have them all. You'll get them in a bundle there. So some of the topics, I've got my little list here. I think. Do I still have it? There it is. Yay. Some of the topics. I won't read all of them up to you, so I don't want to give them all away. What makes Came to Believe different? That's the topic for Monday the 5th. We're going to be talking about things in the future like powerlessness and unmanageability, the whole issue of higher power, the promises that are in the big book. This is stuff that maybe you've heard about, but you may not have heard from a viewpoint that we're going to bring this from. It may be a little controversial for you. And Tom was telling me the other day that we want to welcome opposing viewpoints. Right, Tom?
Absolutely. I want someone to come and tell us we're wrong.
Yeah.
And give us a challenge for what it is.
I was thinking about that before when we were talking about recovered and recovering. It would be scary for me, but have someone on that thinks that we're wrong and just have a civil conversation about, I mean, not that they're wrong, but why would you say that? And just kind of, I wonder if we could find somebody. I bet we could.
We'll find people that would do that.
Yeah, I'll bet you. But you know what's scary is when you get cornered and say, well, come on. And I had a Bible college professor that used to say, you can disagree with me, but you have to prove me wrong. Prove me wrong.
Right.
And, you know, and this is what I want. I want evidence. Show me. So I was like, show me in the book where it says that.
Mm-hmm. Show me that it's working. You know, how is it working for you?
Yeah.
But you know, they might think it is.
What we're doing is, you know, I often say it's not what Tom Williams didn't write this. Alicia Martinez didn't write this.
Right.
We're getting this stuff right as close as we can from the guys that wrote the stuff. You know, I met Grace Snyder. I knew her very well, actually. Clarence's wife. Mm-hmm. I traveled with her for 2 or 3 years. And Annette Nelson, who were, these were, had 40 years sobriety. These were people that knew all the players back then. I traveled with them, listened to them, talked with them. I knew her. I met, when Dick B met Grace, I was at that retreat. Before Dick B wrote any of the books that he's writing now.
Wow.
We watched them get together. I was there that day when they met. So I go way back and have really strong actual, you know, evidence from personal experience with these people.
Yeah.
So we talk boldly, Monty, about what it is that they did and why they did it, because it matters. You said it, it's life and death. It's life and death, guys. And what if it works? We always tell people, what if it works?
Yeah.
And you can be free.
Yeah.
What if you really can be free?
How badly do you want to get well?
Right. I'm just a little excited about it.
Yeah, right? I am too. I'm very excited about it. And listeners, I am telling you, I've got a real feeling about this. You're going to be hearing more about Take 12 Recovery Radio and Came to Believe Recovery. Not just on the podcast or on our show. Stuff's going on. Let's just put it that way. Stuff's going on, and it's orchestrated by the divine, like my mentor says, by the divine. It's providence, my friends. So be looking forward to it. Now, this whole concept of going through the steps that quickly. Have you had anybody come back and say, yeah, it just wasn't for me? Anybody kind of buck the system on this thing at any point?
Well, absolutely. You know, when we talk about 9, 8, you know, we're tracking like in the 80%, that means 20% of them don't get it.
Yeah.
Okay. So we do get that. We get some people who come back and say, it just wasn't for me. You know, even the founders, the guys who wrote the book, never claimed to have a monopoly on recovery.
Right.
And they even say somewhere in the book, if you can find another way, our hat is off to you. And so, sure, we have some people come back and say, but what they don't say is that we're doing it wrong from the way the founders were doing it. That's where we'll stop and say, well, we if it doesn't work for you, that's one thing. But we are doing what they were doing when it was the most successful.
Yeah.
So we get less of, we don't know what we're talking about, more of, it wasn't for me. So yes, we do get that once in a while.
Yeah. Alicia, as you work as a volunteer with this organization, what are some of the things that it has done for your spiritual well-being?
I would say, and whenever I'm teaching, I say it is like me as a leader get nuggets and God winks and growth just as much as they are, if not maybe more sometimes. Mm. And I know when, because I didn't have like the automatic bang or the light or the, it was more like in the big book, it says, educational
variety
process.
Yeah.
And I'm still on that process. And sometimes I feel like less than, cause I want the bang. And some people, when I'm leading small groups and the girls are sharing that they've had it, and I kind of, you know, go back into comparing, like, should I even be a leader? I say that every retreat. I shouldn't even be here.
Every retreat, guys. She
every
says
retreat.
It.
I'm not doing this anymore. But it's real. And I'm being vulnerable. And I've like, so it's amazing for me to go through the process just like they are. It might be a different level or something. Right. But every single retreat, I just have things happening of God showing me, or my selfishness coming up, my resentments coming up, and stuff that I'm consistently being molded and I feel like I'm on the right track, but every single retreat I will be knocked down or something and just tell Tom, like, I can't do it anymore.
Right. Yeah, but let me tell you, then I'll brag on her. Then she gets up and delivers a message that shakes the room. Right, Roger? Yep. I mean, she's just completely inspired, completely capable, and completely confident in what she shares and says. And she is revered amongst our group. Everybody knows Alicia is one of the top teachers. And you know, guys, she does this all for us for free. There's no money. She trains all of our fifth step people, all our group leaders. She does all of the training worldwide. She does it for the UK. She does everything for us. So she talks herself down, and maybe she needs to, but she's a different person than I met 2 years ago. Just 2 years ago, guys, in a retreat with her arms folded, today is a confident, strong, powerful woman in recovery that has a message that is changing and has certainly saved people's lives.
So just to encourage you, Alicia, I got to tell you, and all of us, and I think Roger's probably heard this story a million times, I'm not sure, but I was at a place with Take 12 Recovery Radio where I was done. I was just done, you know, and I was like, nobody's listening. Nobody cares. I can't get one donation. I had treatment centers that are playing our shows, but they don't want to kick down any funds to keep things going. You know, I was just boo-hooing, you know, and I told my wife, I said, are we really making a difference? Really? Are we making it? I'm not seeing the evidence of it. And then she reminded me of what the definition of faith was in the Bible, you know, and sometimes it's the evidence of things unseen, right? And I was getting depressed. And then I got an email from a guy. I'll never forget this. He said, "Dear Monty Man, I was sitting in my room and I listened to an archive of one of your shows from 5-6 years ago, and I took the gun out of my mouth."
Wow.
I've never forgotten that. And whenever I start feeling like, are we really doing anything? Or, you know, I that comes to my mind, because it's about that one person. It's about that one person that we probably won't know about for a long time. We just don't know. We should not be concerned about what we see as results as doing what brings results, right? Much of the time when God has us do something, you know, he's like, don't worry about the outcome. Just be obedient. Do what I'm asking you to do. I'll take care of the outcome. But we want to walk by sight, not by faith, right? Because we live in the flesh. Yeah.
I love this. this analogy that was, it came out of Atomic Habits, I think. If I don't know if you guys have read Atomic Habits. Yeah. Alicia and I have read it probably three times each with lines written in it and stuff. You know, and it's all recovery stuff and it's all God stuff. But he talks about ice melts at 33 degrees, right? A piece of ice. So if it's 20 below in a room and you put fire to the ice and you start raising the temperature, a lot of work's going on. A lot of energy is being placed, but the ice isn't melting. The ice isn't melting. And there's work and there's more work and the temperature's coming up and it's work and there's things going on and energy being expended and the ice isn't melting. It's melting. And then you hit that critical point and all of a sudden when you hit the right temperature, the ice melts. So it's that idea that there's all this work till all of a sudden. And Monty, I believe we're there with Came to Believe Recovery. There's a connection with Take 12 Radio. I think this whole thing's about to blow. I think the ice is ready to melt. We're just about ready to see this thing, this movement, blow the world away. We have some people behind our scenes that see us changing the world. And it's not us. It's the message, right? Yeah.
Yes.
I hope everybody understands. We're just the messengers. But this message could change the world, will change the world if we can get it out there. But we're about ready to see the ice melt. I love that. And that keeps me going because when I don't see it melting, you know, I'm like, what is this going to happen? You know, and here we are on this podcast that is going to reach many more people, I think, right off the bat than we've been reaching. And we're so excited that you found us and are giving us this opportunity.
Yes.
We it's just about getting this out because it's lives at stake. That's all it is. It has nothing to do. Alicia and I don't care about notoriety or anything. All we want to do is help the next person.
Amen.
To get free. We really do, guys. We really do. Yeah. And we live this thing. We'll talk to you about our step tens every day. We walk what we talk. We do.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, I'm so pumped about this. Roger, this is good stuff, isn't it, buddy?
It's incredibly exciting. We're talking about being providential and divine. Like I said before, this started for me in 2008 with you, Monty, and here we are 16 years later. But I remember the phone call I got from Monty Meyer who said, I'm done. I was in Arizona. I was in Colorado. Huh. And I got a phone call, and Monty said, "I'm done. I can't do this anymore. No, you know, blah blah blah, on and on and on." And I went, "No, sorry, this phone call, Monty, is not acceptable. You are not done. And what do we need to do to continue on?" And I never forgot that. And that was all providence. And here we are.
Here we are.
God doesn't have a timeline like we do. We're like in a big hurry to make things happen instantly. It happens when He wants it to happen, and it's happening right now, and it's changing lives. And the ice is melting for sure.
Yeah.
It's happening. Yeah. It's happening all over.
Yeah.
And we're a part of it. And you're a part of it. And it's great to be on board.
Now, there's even a possible connection with Came to Believe Recovery and all this with Salvation Army, right?
There is indeed.
Yeah. I mean, we'll have that big announcement once it comes, but boy, what an opportunity, Monty, to, you know, what we're doing is we're looking for an audience. We're looking to be able to put in front of people who want to hear the message. And all of a sudden we have this opportunity to be able to bring our message to a whole bunch of people that are hurting in a very short period of time. It's a God thing. It's a God thing. And the Salvation Army, they sat right in front of us and Roger was there and they said, we're missing the point. We're missing it. Something's not working.
Yeah.
And it's so, so exciting. It's about the other half of what I do. Half of what I'm doing today is really stepping into this, guys, this our podcast and with you guys. And we're really putting together this thing with the Salvation Army. And there's some other big things coming too. You'll hear all about it. Follow us. Come hear our podcast so much. Come to a retreat. Your life could be changed. If you're sober a day or 30 years, everybody gets something out of it. Even if you're not sober, Monty, and you're just a person who's struggling with your life and don't know what to do, and you want a little a set of tools that can help you launch into success, this program works. It's why we're so excited. It works for anybody,
amen.
Especially alcoholics. And that's what the original manuscript said, that we need to help everybody.
Our guest this week is Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez. Of course, my co-host, Roger McDermott. We were talking about cametobelieverecovery.org. Please visit their website. Listen, you can subscribe to the new podcast for fun and for free right now by going to take12radio.com and clicking on any of the podcasting platforms listed there. I will tell you, however, that even though we have the Google Podcast logo and app and all that on our website, Google Podcast is actually going away. So don't subscribe on Google Podcasts. Subscribe on it. We still have listeners that listen on there. That's why we still have that up. So, but all major podcasting platforms, just search for Take 12 Recovery Radio or wherever you get your podcast. The dedicated webpage that we have, just go to take12radio.com and click on the Came to Believe Recovery Podcast banner, and that'll take you to the dedicated webpage, and we'll have shows posted there as well. This will be on our YouTube channel. It'll be on all major podcasting platforms, and we're excited for you to get it and for you to see it. It will launch Tuesday, February 5th in the early evening. And
March 5th.
Excuse me?
March 5th. I think you said February 5th.
Oh, did I say February 5th? Sorry. March 5th. March 5th. Yeah, we'll go back in time. So we're really excited about that. We are just about out of time, and we have a closing song for you guys, as usual. Closing thoughts, though. Alicia, you first.
I would just encourage people to listen to the podcast, have an open mind, check out our website. If you're even thinking an inkling of maybe I should go to a retreat, whether it's alcohol, drugs, depression, anxiety. Mine was eating disorders. I had three, but that was my big one. Over-exercising. I would say go for it. Check out a retreat and do something about it.
Yeah.
Or listen to the podcast, because after listening to Tom and I, we will kick your butt into doing it.
And you'll like it while she does it.
And you'll enjoy it.
That's right. Roger, closing thoughts.
I encourage everybody to get involved. This has been part of my life for the last 16 years, and it's coming to fruition. It's extremely exciting. And if you want to see lives changed and be part of God's will and be part of an army of guys and gals carrying the message of recovery and hope, then get involved. You'll never regret it.
Yeah. Amen. Tom, closing thoughts.
Yeah. I'm just like Alicia. You know, if you're out there, keep an open mind. Understand that we didn't come up with this. It's what they were doing back in at the beginning, when this was the most successful that it ever was, something must have been going right. And we know what they were doing. So we did it. Hey, guys, also, if you like Came to Believe Recovery, our Facebook page or our website, you can get access to 2 Minutes with Tom, something I do every day, and Mindset Minutes with Alicia. So every day there's a thought or something that we post online. We're out there all the time. It's 2 Minutes with Tom and Mindset Minute with Alicia. Two other avenues that we're out there trying to get the word out there, though. But guys, you can be recovered.
Yes, amen.
Come and see how. Recovered.
Tom, really quickly, talk about mocktails real quick.
Oh, mocktail hours. We're doing them in New York City. If you're in the New York City area, once a month we're doing a mocktail hour down in Soho. We're using Old St. Patrick's Church. We are networking together with a bunch of people that are sober curious, in recovery, all different levels. We have a panel of great speakers. It's a great, safe, comfortable place to come and talk about recovery and life and living in the go in a safe place, alcohol-free. Last one we had to shut the registration down. There were so many people.
Wow.
We had a gentleman, Sean Daniels, who wrote The White Chip, which is playing in Broadway right now. He was on our panel, and he has just gotten lit up with hearing about everything that we're doing. And wait to see who our next guests are going to be in March at our next mocktail hour. If you're in New York City, you guys might want to fly out for it. Anyway, they're great.
I am excited for this partnership with Take 12 Recovery Radio and Came to Believe Recovery. And the new podcast, folks, be looking for it March 5th. It'll be launched. 12 steps in 3 days. You betcha. You betcha. Okay. Our closing song is by a group called Kane the Band. And, well, it's not by them. It's their rendition of There Was Jesus. Beautiful song to close with. And we'll sign off right at the end of the song. So don't go away. Check this out. Kane the Band.
Every time I try to make it on my own, every time I try to stand, I start to fall. And all those lonely roads that I've traveled on, there was Jesus.
When the life I built came crashing to the ground, and when the friends I had were nowhere to be found, I couldn't see it then, but I could see it now, that there was Jesus.
In the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
For this man who needs amazing kind of grace,
oh, yeah,
and for forgiveness at a price I couldn't pay, I'm not perfect, so I thank God every day. Oh yeah, there was Jesus.
There was Jesus. Whoa, in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing, in the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment,
valleys, oh, 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 in the shadows of the alleys, oh, oh, in the fire and in the flood, there was Jesus.
One who is and is to come.
Whoa, in the waiting, in the searching, in the healing and the hurting, like a blessing buried in the broken pieces. Every minute, every moment, where I've been and where I'm going, even when I didn't know it or couldn't see it, there was Jesus.
Wow. Amen. KaneTheBand.com for more of their great positive, God-focused music. All right. A very special thank you to my guests this week, Tom Williams and Alicia Martinez, and, of course, to my co-host and crazy guy, Mr. Roger McDermott. Until our next broadcast, this is the Monty Man, along with the rest of the Take 12 Recovery Radio family, and we are wishing God's perfect serenity for you.
This has been a broadcast of Take 12 Recovery Radio and KHLT Recovery Broadcasting.
Yeah, kitty, 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 kitty.
This has been a Chicken and a Pig production.